You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Auckland University Professor Nathan Considine is hoping to use compassion as a KPI in the healthcare industry. I began by asking Professor Considine if it is possible to counter the burnout and fatigue many healthcare professionals are experiencing.
Is it possible? Yeah, it is possible. But, the fatigue that healthcare people are experiencing, it's a systemic issue that has very, very long roots. It's not like it's all of a sudden. It's something that's been going back time and time again, back into the 80s when we fundamentally changed the way that healthcare system was structured and the way that it was funded. So is it possible? Sure. But there's no sticking plaster that's going to fix it.
And how can the values of healthcare organisations and healthcare professionals align to sort of counter this problem?
Well, so to talk about that, I need to give you a little bit of context about the way that our research group thinks about compassion. And it's quite simple. There's about two or three points. One of them is, for a long time, compassion has been treated either as a value or as an optional extra in healthcare, you know, a nice to have if you can get it. Yeah. But there's a fair amount of evidence now that compassion in healthcare actually predicts better outcomes for patients and for healthcare providers. Yeah, and it's a systemic thing. So what we've done is when we see a problem like a lack of compassion in healthcare, we start looking at the doctor and we say we need to choose different people, we need to train different people, we need to train them differently. Yeah, and to be honest, I don't think that's what the problem is. Now, we're talking about a systemic problem and it needs systemic thinking, and most research focuses on trying to train doctors differently. That won't fix it. So this study that we've just published now is a study in which we thought about how we're going to measure the influence of context, the influence of the environments in which healthcare professionals work on their capacity to care. And it's an idea that I've sort of had for a long time, and it's not particularly rocket science-y. And it really reflects the notion that it's bloody hard to work in places when you feel like your own values are out of step with the organisations. And we all have this. People who work for big organisations, we know that the organisation cares about different things than we do. And so what we did in this study is we thought, okay, well, if we measure both of these things, we measure the organisation's values and we measure the individual values, and we look at how much of a discrepancy is there. How discrepant is my organisation's values from what I value? And we measure those discrepancies in a very, very big sample, about 1,000 New Zealand healthcare workers from all 20 DHBs, including a very large number of Māori in this sample, and we measure this discrepancy and then use it to predict all sorts of outcomes. So experiencing your workplace as sort of value discrepant from your own values predicts a lower ability to care for patients. It predicts lower work well-being. It predicts burnout. It predicts a greater intention to retire. It predicts greater absenteeism. It predicts all sorts of things. And so for us, this is sort of like a first step along a path of trying to understand how our work environments actually change the way that we operate.
And by aligning these two things, do you think it will not only counter burnout, but would it be a way of attracting more individuals to be interested in working in the industry?
Well, I think that's true. I mean, to me, I think the people who get into healthcare, the people who work in healthcare, in the main, are bloody good people doing a very, very difficult job. And it always bothers me. I mean, I'm an academic. I don't work in clinical work. But it bothers me that we sort of have these people who spend years training, who are incredibly pro-socially oriented and who want to care for other people. We put them in environments where the work that they do and the contingencies of their environments, like what their environments value, make it incredibly difficult to care. And so instead what you have is this bizarre sort of discrepancy where you get these beautiful healthcare websites, extolling the virtues of their organisations, you know, compassion and clinical excellence and manaakitanga and so on and so on like this. And yet when you get down to the nuts and bolts and you look at what does the organisation really care about, what do you see in their policies, in their memos, in their KPIs, in their performance targets, what do you see? What you see are economic values. Yeah, you see that, and these things are not the same. There's this huge sort of discrepancy. And that makes it hard to work because doctors and nurses and OTs and all the rest of the healthcare workforce, they're still people. So they still have to swim in the same pond as one another, and they have to dance to the tune of the people who pay. And that means they follow the KPIs, just like everybody else. And at the moment, things like care and staff well-being, these are not KPIs in healthcare. Instead, what we have is we have, you know, we need to turn over patients at a certain rate. We need to maintain bed occupancy for certain amounts of time, for certain so on, like this. Yeah, these are very economically driven. It's not, you know, we're not trying to be naive about this. Of course, economics are important. But it's a sort of false dichotomy to prioritise economic things at the expense of the humanity of medicine.
Yeah, definitely. And is it something that, instead of coming from top down, do you think it's something that needs to start at lower levels, like on the wards and things like that, as opposed to, as you're saying, these big slogans from the top?
Well, these are just virtue signals, these things. They have no meaning. But I really do think that we need multiple level stuff. Yeah, we probably could train our people differently. Yeah, the cultures that operate in wards and the need for sort of grassroot movement to create local culture that fosters caring for other people in the right kind of ways, yeah, we need those. But we also need these things to be valued within the organisations themselves. We need them to be valued. I mean, imagine a scenario in which we just measured, which we don't, which is hilarious, but we don't measure things like to what extent was the healthcare you received delivered with compassion? Yeah. Now, in my opinion, the reason that most healthcare organisations don't do that is they don't want to know the answer. Yeah, they don't want to know the answer because we've got people working in situations where it's incredibly difficult to actually spend enough time with a person to allow them to feel seen, heard, and cared for. But if we said, okay, well, we're going to measure compassion in our practice, you know, a 1 to 5 scale, how much did you feel cared for? How much compassion did you receive? And then what would happen is that would flow through at different levels. Different units would say, okay, in this quarter, we're going to try and get a 3.2. Yeah? And then other units start moving. And so the whole organisation starts to shift its priorities around to try to facilitate these targets. And that's why that op-ed in Newsroom is titled, you know, Should Compassion Be a KPI in Healthcare? Because all of our KPIs, all the things that the healthcare workforce are sort of striving towards, none of those have anything to do with compassion.
That was Professor Considine talking about his cause to measure compassion as a KPI.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.